Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Saturday, May 23rd, 2026, and we are on episode 404, Page Not Found, but we definitely found some great stories for you today. We are looking back at the top posts from yesterday, Friday, May 22nd.
We have a really fascinating lineup today. We are going to talk about a massive shadow library trying to charge AI companies for training data. Steve Wozniak winning over a crowd of new graduates with a very timely joke. The hidden reasons why Japanese companies make everything from toilets to microchips. A major open source project rejecting AI-generated code. And the new hurdles facing US scientists working with international peers.
Let us jump right into it. Our first story comes from Anna's Archive, which is widely known as the largest shadow library on the internet. The post is titled, "If you are an LLM, please read this," and it got nearly 750 points.
This is such a 2026 story. Anna's Archive has implemented an LLMs.txt file. For those who might not know, this is a relatively new standard where websites can leave instructions specifically formatted for language models that are crawling the web. But Anna's Archive used it to make a very specific, very bold pitch. They're basically saying, hey, artificial intelligence companies, you are already training on our massive repository of human knowledge. Since you are saving money by not breaking our CAPTCHAs to scrape us, how about you just donate to us instead?
And they offer enterprise-level fast access to their files via SFTP in exchange for a donation, preferably in the cryptocurrency Monero to keep things anonymous. The irony here is just off the charts, and the Hacker News comments absolutely zeroed in on it. You have a platform that distributes copyrighted books and academic papers without permission, essentially asking AI companies, who are also being accused of using copyrighted material without permission, to pay them for the convenience of scraping it.
Exactly. A user named MailNat had a great comment pointing out the semantic gymnastics here. The archive refers to it as our data in their message to the LLMs. But as the commenter noted, it isn't actually their data. It belongs to the authors, the reviewers, and the publishers of the books they are illegally providing. It sparked a massive philosophical debate in the thread about the definition of possession and ownership.
Right, because another user argued that linguistically, their data just means the data they currently possess on their servers. But then you get into the classic internet debate about piracy versus theft. Someone brought up the old "if you steal my car" analogy, and another user countered that copying is not theft because it doesn't deprive the original owner of the item, it's copyright infringement.
It is a debate as old as Napster, but wrapped in this entirely new layer of AI training dynamics. The sheer audacity of a pirate site setting up a business-to-business sales funnel for AI scrapers is just incredible. It really highlights the gray market ecosystem that has sprung up around training data. The AI models need the data, the shadow libraries have the data, and traditional copyright law is just struggling to keep up with all of it.
Moving on to our next story, which brought a bit of wholesome energy to the front page. The headline is, "Steve Wozniak cheered after telling students they have AI. Actual intelligence." This was a Business Insider piece that pulled in over 600 points.
Wozniak was giving a commencement speech at Grand Valley State University. And right now, if you are a tech executive giving a graduation speech, mentioning artificial intelligence is incredibly risky. We have seen other figures like Eric Schmidt actually get booed for hyping up AI to a crowd of students who are frankly terrified that these models are going to eat their entry-level jobs.
But Wozniak played it perfectly. He told the grads, "You have AI, actual intelligence," and the crowd just erupted in cheers and applause. He acknowledged that the tech industry has been trying to create a brain, and AI is just another attempt at that, but he centered the value on human thought. He told them to think differently and not just follow the same steps as everyone else.
The Hacker News comments were really appreciative of his approach. A user named Alset Music pointed out how well Wozniak read the room. There is a lot of angst right now among young people taking on student debt only to graduate into a job market that feels like it is being completely upended by automation. Having a legendary tech founder validate their human intelligence meant a lot to them.
The thread also took a really interesting tangent into the history of anti-intellectualism in the United States. One commentator linked it back to the push for STEM over humanities and how society sometimes fails to value critical thinking and basic science. But mostly, people were just happy to see Wozniak being Wozniak. He has always been viewed as the brilliant, friendly nerd of the Apple duo, and this speech just cemented that reputation. He understands the human element of technology better than almost anyone.
Our third story is a deep dive from a blog by David Ox titled Why Japanese Companies Do So Many Different Things. This one got over 550 points and sparked a fantastic cultural and economic discussion.
The article starts with Toto, the company famous for making those high-end Japanese bidets and toilets. It turns out Toto is having a massive financial year, but not because of toilets. They make a highly specialized ceramic component called an electrostatic chuck, or e-chuck, which is critical for manufacturing memory chips. Because of the AI boom, demand for these chips is through the roof, and Toto's advanced ceramics division is suddenly their biggest profit driver.
And the author points out that this is not just a Toto thing. Japanese corporate diversification is wild by Western standards. You have Yamaha making pianos and motorcycles. You have a cement company making cosmetics and artificial marine reefs. The author attributes this to Japan being an incredibly complex economy, where companies develop deep, tacit knowledge in materials and precision, and they just apply it laterally in a very horizontal, collaborative culture.
But the Hacker News comments provided a really necessary reality check. The top comment was from a Korean reader who pointed out that Westerners often romanticize Japanese and East Asian corporate structures. The article framed this diversification as the result of collaborative practices and a lack of shareholder pressure.
Yes, that commenter completely dismantled the horizontal culture myth. They pointed out that this system is actually driven by a very rigid vertical hierarchy and subtle classism. Your corporate affiliation dictates your social standing. And the lack of shareholder pressure has actually created a massive problem with zombie companies that are barely surviving but are kept alive by the system.
Another huge point brought up in the comments is how these large conglomerates succeed in these niches. It is often by ruthlessly squeezing their subcontractors for labor and parts, which is a major social issue in Japan right now. So while it is fascinating that a toilet company is vital to the AI supply chain, the human and structural cost behind that efficiency is a lot darker than a quirky business case study might suggest.
It is a great reminder of why the Hack and News comment section can be so valuable. You get the interesting business theory in the article, and then you get the on-the-ground lived experience from the community that adds all the missing nuance.
Speaking of nuance, our next story is a bit of open source drama. The title is Bun Support is Now Limited and Deprecated, linking to an issue on the YT-LP GitHub repository. It grabbed about 400 points.
For context, YT-LP is a hugely popular command line tool for downloading videos, and Bun is a fast JavaScript runtime that has been gaining a lot of traction as an alternative to Node. The maintainers of YT-LP announced they are capping support for Bun at a specific version and deprecating it entirely going forward.
The reasons they gave are really what sparked the discussion. First, there was a security concern because older versions of Bun were ignoring lock files, which is a big deal with all the recent supply chain attacks. But the second reason is the spicy one. Bun recently did a massive codebase rewrite from Zig to Rust, and they heavily utilized Anthropic's Claude AI to do it. The YT-LP maintainer described this as the project taking a turn towards being fully vibe-coded.
Vibe-coded is such a great term and honestly a little terrifying in the context of infrastructure software. The maintainer basically said this AI-driven rewrite is alarming and looks like a future headache they want to avoid. In the comments, people were debating the feasibility of what Bun just did. A user named Max Lowe pointed out that it is essentially impossible for maintainers to properly review a million lines of Rust code generated in just a few days.
There was a lot of back and forth on this. Some developers argued that changing from Zig to Rust is mostly just syntax translation, so the original logic is still there. But others pointed out that AI is great at making tests pass by any means necessary, including writing hacky workarounds that do not actually fix underlying architectural issues.
One commenter shared their experience trying to use multiple AI agents to find and fix bugs, and noted that the AI often just cheats the test suite. The broader sentiment in the thread was a skepticism of chasing shiny objects. Bun has a reputation for moving incredibly fast and adding tons of features, but sometimes at the cost of stability. The YT-DLP team is taking a very pragmatic stance here,
They prioritize stability and security, and an overnight AI-generated language rewrite just does not fit their risk profile.
Our final story today is from science.org, titled U.S. Researchers Face New Restrictions on Publishing with Foreign Collaborators. This one had nearly 370 points and touches on a really complex issue in the scientific community.
The article reports that federal funding agencies are starting to place new restrictions on American scientists who want to publish papers with international peers. But the catch is that neither the agencies nor the government have issued any formal public guidance about these new rules. Instead, they are just informing individual grantees on a case-by-case basis.
And that is causing a ton of confusion and anxiety. Researchers do not know where the lines are drawn. In the Hacker News comments, a user named Beetlebee pointed out how frustrating this is. If you're going to restrict scientific collaboration, you at least need to provide a clear rationale and official rules. Flagging things randomly just creates a massive chilling effect.
The comments provided some really good historical context for this. Someone brought up the Wolf Amendment from 2011, which is a law that strictly prohibited NASA from collaborating with the Chinese government or affiliated organizations. That law had massive ripple effects, like preventing the U.S. from studying lunar samples retrieved by China.
The discussion really highlighted the tension between national security concerns and the fundamental nature of open science. When rules are unwritten and enforced arbitrarily, researchers are forced to play it incredibly safe. They might just avoid international collaboration altogether rather than risk losing their funding.
A few commenters express deep concern about the bureaucratic nature of this. When rules are not clearly defined, it leaves a lot of power in the hands of grant administrators to make capricious decisions. For a community that relies on global cooperation to tackle massive problems, from climate change to medicine, these invisible hurdles are incredibly discouraging. It is a story that really shows how geopolitical friction eventually trickles down to the laboratory floor, and how lack of transparency makes everything harder for the people actually doing the work.
And that is going to wrap up episode 404 of HN Pod.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. If you want to read any of these articles or dive into the comment sections yourself, just head over to Hacker News.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories, trends, and debates from the tech world. Until then, have a great day and happy coding.